Okay, you can turn to Romans. It was interesting in one of the manifestations, I think it was Bobby's, he said, you know, God said we are all his children. And it's kind of what I want to look at. One of the great things that God communicates to us is that he is no respecter of persons. Now, what does that mean? Well, it depends on the context of where it's used. When it's concerning believers, we're all the same, right? Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter who you are, where you came from, what your education is, anything else. God loves each and every one of us. When it comes to his laws and commandments, everybody has the same promises, the same privileges, and the same responsibilities, you know, before God. So he's no respecter of persons there. Then, you know, there's things like the rain falls on the just and the unjust and things like that. So you have to look at some of the things. But one of the things that I wanted to look at is that God's no respecter of persons with us. He's a respecter of our believing. You know, the situations and circumstances that come to pass, we have to believe. You know, that's our responsibility. His promises are the same to each and every one of us, right? And if we believe, we get the results. So, chapter 2 of Romans, verse 9, it said, this is a section of Romans that really is concerned with mankind in general and talks about the degradation and you know, just, you know, natural man and mankind and where he's at. And verse 9 says, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. So it's not really talking about believers, but Jews and Gentiles, right? But glory and honor and peace to every man that worketh the good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For there is no respecter of persons with God. So here he's talking about what? You know, situations, circumstances. You know, if a person was a Gentile and, you know, they were the chosen people of God, the Jews, right? They were given the oracles of God, the word of God to watch over, and the promise of the Messiah was to them. But if they didn't do the word of God, if they did evil, they got the recompense of reward, as it says. Pretty crazy. But and then it says, for there is no respect of persons with God. So that's a pretty interesting thing. God is just, right? He's just. He's a just God. He always does the right thing. He always does what's fair, what's equitable, and what is merciful many times. But, you know, you have to look at it from God's point of view. Can't look at it from man's point of view, because man gets emotional and... Well, that's not fair. Life isn't fair. And the only thing that makes a difference is if you believe God. Obviously, we all are not the same size. We don't all have the same mental makeup or abilities. You know, I think it's incredibly unfair that I wasn't big enough, fast enough, and strong enough to play in the NFL. Just terrible. It's very unfair. Let's go to Ephesians. Probably happy I didn't.
Yeah, then you'd have both knees again.
And a brain that would be mush by now. You know, there was a football player from Long Island. His name was John Mackey, and he was one of the great tight ends of football. And by the time he was 60, he just, you know, was delusional. His wife had to take care of him. His brain was so messed up. Okay, chapter 6 of Ephesians, verse 5. Again, this is kind of specific. It's addressed to believers, and it starts off with servants, which is the word doulos, which would be a bond slave, right? Be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Now, obviously, today we don't have slavery in our country. There's still slavery in the world, but hopefully not in our country anyway, although there may be instances, you know, every once in a while you hear about something where people are kept. But for the most part, it's illegal around the world. Now, in Africa, they still have slavery in different places, in the Middle East and so on. But we don't. But what is this talking about? So servants. So if you work in a job, if you have somebody that's over you, it says, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh. According to the flesh, right? Mm-hmm. In the five senses world, with fear and trembling, or with respect and, I forget what it is, respect and something. Obedience, I think, or something like that. In singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Okay, so as we're obedient to Christ, and we have respect for him and honor him, that's how we are to be, you know, whoever has authority in our lives in the sense knowledge world. And of course, in our country, if you don't like it, you can always leave, right? Mm-hmm. Go somewhere else. Not with eye service, as men pleasers, you know, not just going through the motions, not just to look good, but as the servants of Christ doing the will of God from the heart. In other words, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, you do your best. That's what God says. With goodwill, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. You know, whatever you're doing, you're not really serving man, you're serving God and Jesus Christ. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. So whether you're the master or the servant, you're the employee, the employer, whatever, you're to do your best. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing threatening, or, you know, not threatening. Okay, let's go to Genesis. Genesis chapter 4. So God's word is the same for everyone. We all get the same promises. If we're born again, we all get the same gifts, the same responsibilities. God has no favorites, but respects believing, commitment, and love. And we all have the same instruction, and we all have the same spiritual abilities. In chapter 4 has to do with Cain and Abel. And Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I've gotten a man up from the Lord. She was a little mistaken in that. She got him from Adam. But she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of the flock and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Well, what's the problem? You know, he had respect to one, and we say, well, God's not a respecter of persons. Well, he's a respecter of believing. You know, and we have to understand that they were given instruction, and Abel did what was right. He gave the very best to God, and Cain did not. Now, there's, you know, other things people talk about, whether blood offerings and things like that. But the point is that he gave his best. He did what God told him, and Cain did not. So God had respect to his offering. Did he have, did he throw Cain out? Did he condemn him? No. He didn't, actually. But unto Cain and his offering, he had no respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance falling? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? If thou doest well, sin, and if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. So, you know, if you do well, it's good. If you don't do well, then you suffer the consequences. God was no respecter between Cain and Abel. It was just a matter of who did what God asked them to do. You know, it's very simple. Let's go to Psalm 119. Hmm. Psalm 119. And we're going to look at verse 5. Five. And it says, "Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments." Now here, you know, the psalmist is talking about God's word. And he says, "Oh, that my ways were directed to thy statutes." You know, am I looking at your word? Am I paying attention? And then in verse 6, he says, "Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments." And, you know, God's no respecter of persons. We're not to be a respecter of anything in his word. In other words, you know, say, well, I don't like this part of the word, so I'm not going to do this part. People do that, don't they? Sometimes we do it, you know. I don't really want to do that. Well, why? That's not the way we're supposed to be. It's supposed to be that we are not respecter of anything in God's word other than, or we're to respect all of it. We're to honor all of it. We're to believe all of it as to how it is written, if it's written to us or addressed to us or for our learning. We're to understand it correctly to the best of our ability, but we're not to throw any of it out. We're not to say, well, I don't like that, so I'm not going to do that part. Does that make sense? Yeah, okay. It says, "I will praise thee with the uprightness of my heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments." You know, it's where to learn it all. All scripture is given by inspiration of God for doctrine, reproof, and correction. All scripture is all scripture, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, doctrine is instruction. Some doctrine was written for our learning. It's not addressed to us. Some of it is addressed to us. Some of it is for our learning, right? Some of it is true of us, you know. So you go to the Old Testament and you look at the Ten Commandments and, well, I don't have to keep the Ten Commandments. Well, okay, so you can have false gods? Well, it's true of us, right? We're not to have idols. That's true of us. So you have to look and see what it says. We don't have to do sin offerings, obviously, because Jesus Christ fulfilled the law. And we don't have to do offerings. We don't have to keep holy days. We don't have to observe the feasts of Israel and make pilgrimages to the temple in Jerusalem, if there were one. You know, we don't have to do that because that's all been taken care of. So we always have to learn and understand what God's word says to us, what's addressed to us, and what's true of us, and so on like that. Verse 17, it says, "Deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep thy word." You know, just keep his word. Keep his word to the best of your ability. We're not to be respecters in that respect. Okay, let's go to Exodus chapter 2. What an exciting day at the fellowship. Kind of has to run here.
Makes me want to get a cat. You can have this one.
Yeah, but he let it get away. That's the problem. He got it? It's dead now? Oh, okay. Well, we'll get him out of here. Okay. Verse 23 of Exodus. So Randall's not messing with the horn of plenty, is he?
He's watching it.
Oh, good. He's guarding it. What a good cat. Randall the cat. Okay. Chapter 2 of Exodus, verse 23. This is obviously where, you know, God was talking to Moses, or right before Moses. "It came to pass in the process of time the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of their bondage, and they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. And God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them." Why did he have respect unto them? Because he made a promise to Jacob and Isaac and Abraham. That's why. That's the reason they're the chosen people. No other reason. They weren't the biggest, it says in other places. They weren't the mightiest of people. They weren't the most obedient, obviously. You know, sometimes we look back and they say, boy, those guys were jerks. But then I think we're probably the same way a lot of times, you know. We shouldn't get uppity up. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 10. So that's why God had respect, because he made a promise. So, you know, when it comes to today, the age of the church, God has respect for us because we believed. He's no respecter of persons, Jew or Gentile, in that both can believe and get born again, right? Mm-hmm. He doesn't draw any distinctions. He doesn't prevent anybody from believing and entering the church. Chapter 10, verse 12. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. Behold, the heavens and the heaven of heavens is the Lord's thy God, the earth also and with all that therein is. Only the Lord had a delight in thy fathers to love them, and he chose their seed after them, even you above all the people as it is this day. And why was that? Because again, we saw in Exodus that he made a promise. He made a promise. See? Well, he's made promises to us, right? One of the promises is that we have eternal life and we're going to be gathered together. Wow, what a great promise. We're going to be forever with the Lord. What a great promise. He's given us Holy Spirit, and that Spirit is a token of that promise, that we have eternal life. What a great thing. What a great God. What a loving God. And he's no respecter of persons, so once you have it forever. Let's go to Romans chapter 4. You know, back in Genesis chapter 12, God said to Abraham, you know, I'm going to make you a great man, and they that curse you, I will curse them, and they that bless you, I will bless, and it's to your seed forever. And, you know, that promise goes down to us today because we're Abraham's seed. So it's kind of cool. Romans chapter 4, verse 3. It says, now unto him, verse 3, for what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. So why was he righteous? Because he believed. That's why God respected Abraham above other men. That's why he made the promises to them. That's why Israel got what they got. The reason that we get what we get is because we believed. We confessed Jesus Lord and believed in our heart that God raised him from the dead. God was no respecter of persons. He allowed each and every one of us to do that. We got born again. It didn't matter about anything else. And then you get all those promises, all those everything. Go to John chapter 3. Thought about this in this respect. Verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loved the whole world. He was no respect of persons with that, right? He was no respect of persons in that he sent his Son for everybody, and that whosoever believeth should not perish, but have everlasting life. So God was not a respecter of persons. Pretty cool. And then in Acts chapter 10, verse 34, it says, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. You know? So, you know, when we do the right thing, God blesses us. He's no respecter of persons. When we believe, he brings his word to pass. You know, he doesn't love anybody any less than anybody else. Why is that important? Well, because we have a tendency to think otherwise sometimes, don't we? Yeah, sometimes. Well, he loves him more than he loves me, or he gives more to him than he gives. No, he doesn't. He just, you know, he respects your believing. And as you believe and do his word, he blesses you. That's all there is to it. So God is no respecter of persons. So Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for loving us, for taking care of us, for getting rid of the mouse, for everybody to be blessed and just have a great day. And we thank you in the wonderful and powerful name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.